Good morning. Today's daf in Megillah, Yud Aleph. We're on Yud Amud Beis. We're at the very bottom of the Amud. We're starting today with Rabbi Abba. There are well over a dozen different introductions that were given by the Amoraim when they started darshaning the Megillah. And so what we're going to be doing this morning is that we're going to be covering all of them. It'll take up most of the first half of today's daf, Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, basically dedicated to this topic of what are the intros that are given by the Amoraim. As we already pointed out, let's just take a broader look at what we are discussing right now. We are here in the second half of the first parak of Megillah. The first half of the Masechta talked about the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah, or at least the first Mishnayos did. Then the Mishnayos went on a bit of a tangent, since the Mishnah says, Ein Bein, there's no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar, except for Kriyas HaMegillah. So then the Mishnayos went on a series of, there are no differences between this and this, except the Mishnayos of Ein Bein. I believe 13 in total. That was the Mishnayos. We're done with the Mishnayos. So now, from here until the end of the Perek, which we still have a week to go, so we're going to be doing Drashas, Drashas Chazal on the Megillah. And we're going to be going through, we're going to start it this morning, a Pasuk by Pasuk. We're not going to be going through the entire Megillah, but the Gemara is going to be covering a good amount of the Megillah and darshaning the various Pesukim. But before we get to the Pesukim, we have intro. So that is where we started yesterday, and that's where we're going to continue today, the various introductions that are given by the Amoraim when they start darshaning the Megillah. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. We begin. In terms of the number of Pesukim that we're going to be quoting today, okay, so I don't have this as a metric, but probably the most number of Pesukim that are quoted in any given daf in Shas, but I could be wrong, but it suffice to say, it's a lot of psukim. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana pasuk lepischalai parshas mehalcha. So he learns it from the following. This is a pasuk in Koheles. Adam shetov lefanav nasata chachma v'das v'simcha. So for the person that's good, so I'm going to give him wisdom. So zemar chaya tzadik, a reference to Mordechai. L'chatenasan aniyale esof lichnos. And for the chote, for the sinner, I'm going to give him poverty. I'm sorry. Inyan el esof lichnos. I'm sorry, not poverty. But rather what we're going to do is that we're going to collect him, bring him in. So Zehaman, that's a reference to Haman. La says Tov Lefnei Halokim Zeh Mordechai V'Esther. And in terms of goodness, that's a reference to Mordechai V'Esther. Dechsiv Atasem Esther, that's Mordechai Al Beis Haman. So what comes out over here is that all the possessions of Haman are they going to in turn end up going to Esther and together with Mordechai. Rabba Bar Ofran, here we go with another introduction. Pasalech Pitzchalai Parshasa Mehacha Pasuk in Yirmiyahu V'samti Kisi Be'elam V'avadati Misham Melech V'sarim. So what I did is I took my throne and I put it in Elam. So Elam is a reference to Shushan. So the Gemara number of occasions talks about Elam being a province, Bavel and Elam. So anyway, so Elam is a reference to Bavel. So Melech, the word Melech mentioned in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that's a reference to Vashti. So Zu Vashti and Misarim, Zu Haman, Vaseres Banav. And the princess over here is a reference to Haman. Ravdimi Bar Yisrael Pasuk Lei Pischa Lahai Parshasa Mehacha. As we now are turning to the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, so more introductions. Ki Avadim Anachnu V'Avu V'Avduseinu Lo Azavanu Lokeinu V'Yet Aleinu Chesed Lefnei Malchei Paras. So this pasuk in Ezra, it's in the ninth parak of Ezra. So it describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not leave us. Eim asai bizman Haman, and this is a reference to the time of Haman. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa pasuk pischalai parshas mehacha, a pasuk in Tehillim. Here kafta enosh l'roshena banu ba'esh uvamayim. So ba'esh, that is a reference b'mei Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. That's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, where he took Kanani, Mishal, Vazari, and he put them into the Kivshan Ha'esh, into the furnace. And Uva Mayim be made Paro, and Mayim goes back to Paro, where Paro wanted to drown us. V'totzienu l'rivaya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out, and he saved us, be made Haman, that's a reference to Haman. Rabbi Yochan Pasuk Lei Pitzchalai Parshas Mehacha, another Pasuk from Tehillim, Zachar Chasto V'Emanasol of Eis Yisrael, Reu Kol Avtei Haaretz, Eis Yeshua Salokeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. So obviously, by the way, with every one of these Pesukim, I'm not going to be giving a play-by-play translation of every one of the Pesukim. So we have a lot to cover this morning, so forgive me if I'm just going to be summarizing the basic themes. So Eim Asai, Ra'u Kolaf Se'aretz Yeshua Salokin, when do the entire world see HaKadosh Baruch Hu saving us? So Bimei Mordechai v'Esther, that's during this time period of Mordechai and Esther. Reish Lakish Pasachai Pitzchalai Parsha Sameachah. Reish Lakish, when introducing the Megillah, he would go from the following. Pasuk in Mishle. Arino Haim V'Dov Shokek Moshel Rasha Al Am Dal. And the Gemara now darshins phrase by phrase. Arino Haim Zenevuchanetzar Rasha. So the line made reference to in this Pasuk in Mishle is a reference to to Nevuchanetzar. Dechsebe Alei Aryeh Misovcho. So the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu describes Achashverosh as being, Nevuchadnezzar, thank you. And Nevuchadnezzar as being lion-like. Dov shokik zeh Achashverosh. Dov is a reference to Achashverosh. Tichsiv bay, ve'ari cheva acharei tanyana, dami ledov. So they say regarding the Persians, that they're basically like bears. And Vitani Rav Yosef and Rav Yosef on this comparison. So Elo Parsim Shaochlim Veshosim Gadov. So these are the Persians that eat and drink like a bear. Misur Balim Basar Gadov. They also become basically fat like a bear. And Umegadlin Sear Gadov, and they grow hair like a bear. The Ein Lahem Menucha Gadov, and also they pretty much sleep like a bear or don't sleep like a bear. So Moshe Rasha, and finally that last phrase in the Pasuk and Mishle. So who is the Rasha over here? Zehaman. It's a reference to Haman. Al Am Dal Eli Yisrael, the impoverished nation, is the Jewish people. Shem Dalim Min HaMitzvos, because at the time, unfortunately, so they were not rich in mitzvos. Rebbe Lazar Pasuk Leipitzchalai Parshas Mehacha. So here we're going to be starting with a pasuk in Koheles. Be'atzal Tayim Yimacha Mikra Uvishiflos Yadayim Yidlof Habayis. And the Gemara goes on to explain Bishvil. So the laziness is a reference to the Jewish people at the time who were not engaged in Torah. So we became enemies to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And mach, the ein mach ela ani. The word mach is a reference to somebody who's poor. Shenemra v'im machu me'erkecha, the ein mikare ela Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that which is vaulted higher, so that is a reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemra mikare b'mayim ali yosav. So, and basically as a result of the fact that we weren't properly engaged in the study of Torah, so therefore we became impoverished, and we became vulnerable, and I'll say it because he just said it, the enemies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Pasach Chlei Pischa Laha Parshas HaMehacha, when he would open up his drushes for the Megillah, so Rav Nachman Yitzchak would start from the following, the Pasuk in Tehillim, this one, Shir Amalos, one of the Shir Amalos. Lule Hashem Shayalanu Yomar Na Yisrael. Lule Hashem Shayalanu Bekum Aleinu Adam. Adam Velo Melech. The pasuk says that a man wanted to go against us. The man over here is in contrast to a king, meaning he's not a king. This is not a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Later, and now I should say Achashverosh. This is not a reference to Achashverosh because later we're going to have a discussion in terms of Achashverosh as a king. That's coming up later in today's daf. But meanwhile, over here, we're just simply saying that it is an Adam, not a Melech, who made the Gzeir against us. In other words, Haman. Rava Pasuk Lepischalai Parshas Melecha. Rava would open up in the following. So here we start with a pasuk in Mishle. Birvos Adikim Yismach Am Uvim Shov Rasha Ye Anech Am. So. With the tzaddikim, the people will be happy, and with the rishayim, so ye anech, the people will groan. So birvot tzaddikim yismacham zeh Mordechai v'Esther. So again, as you can imagine, the tzaddikim over here made reference to in context to our Megillah. So that's Mordechai and Esther. So dichsiv va'yir shushan salav v'samecha uvim shol rasha ye anech am zeh Haman. And as far as the groaning is concerned, that's by Haman. Dichsiv va'yir shushan navocha. Now the word navocha over there. It's not exactly the same word. Navocha means confused, bewildered, right? Like Mor Nevuchim. But anyway, but it's a similar enough word, and it's used in reference to Haman. Rav Masna Amar Mehachav, Rav Masna, when introducing the Megillah, so he would quote the pasuk in the Torah, in Sefer Dvarim, Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav. The pasuk goes on to say, Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu elav, meaning there is no other nation. Well, we call it HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers us. And that is basically a synopsis of Megillas Esther. Rav Ashi Amar Mehacha, O Anisa Elokim. Truth of the matter is that same source. Also the beginning of Dvarim, the fourth parak of Dvarim. So this is just a little bit later in that parak. But it's basically the same idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes us from another nation. It sends us to Eretz Yisrael, meaning it happened in Mitzrayim. It happens now from Shushan. Okay. Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh. Okay, and now we're going to start. Now, the truth of the matter is we already did, meaning we already spent some time with the word Vayhi. So, Vayhi b'mei Achashverosh, here we go again. So, Amarav Vayhi. So what you're going to do is you're going to take the word Vayhi, and you're going to break it up into two words. It's going to be Vay and He. So, Hadad Dechsev. So, and consistent with the Pasuk of Vihis Makartem Sham Loivecha. And this is part of the Tochacha. So in Parshas Kisavo, in the 20th parak, so we have the Tochacha, and within the Tochacha, so Akash Baruch Hu says to us, is that what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to sell you to other nations? And then the pasuk goes on to say, Ve'in Konen, nobody's going to end up buying us. But anyway, that is a reference to the Tekufa of the Megillah. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel's of the position that lo ma'astim v'lo galtim l'cha lo sam. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not totally reject us and destroy us. And lo ma'astim b'mei Yevanim, so when did he not totally reject us? That's during the period of the Yevanim. And v'lo galtim b'mei Nebuchadnezzar, and we weren't totally rejected during Nebuchadnezzar. And l'cha lo sam b'mei Haman. And during the time of Haman, Haman wanted to destroy all of us, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu did not allow it to happen. L'afir b'si'itam b'mei Parsi'im. And in terms of rejecting the covenant, so that's during the Persians. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, so bimei Gog u'Magog. And the ani Hashem Elokeichem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Megala himself to the extent that we can fully appreciate, that's during the period of Gog u'Magog. B'masni satan and abraisa lo ma'astim bimei kazdim. So again, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to break up the pasuk, but for different historical periods of time. So, the lo ma'astim is a reference to the kastim. The kastim is a reference to the bavlim, she'amadati lahem, Daniel, v'chananya, Mishael, v'azariah. So, our protectors at that period of time were Daniel and the other Nevi'im of his day. V'lo galtim b'mei Yevanim, and as far as lo galtim, that's during the Yevanim, she'amadati lahem, she'amanat tzadik. So, during the Yevanim, so we had she'amanat tzadik. V'chashmonai uvanav. Okay, the umatis yao kohen gadol. Okay, and the defenders of that period of time. Shimon HaTzadik is a little historically challenging because Shimon HaTzadik obviously came at the beginning of Bayis Sheni. And the story with Hanukkah and the Yevanim and Matisyahu, so that comes later, right? Over 100 years later, approximately 100 years later. So anyway, so it's just a little bit historically challenging in terms of this grouping, but if you know the Gemara here is just talking about broader historical strokes, so it's not it's and anyway, Shimon HaTzadik confronted Alexander the Great. The Gemara in Yuma tells us a story. So Shimon HaTzadik was, so to say, at the beginning of the Greek Empire. So it's not it's broader historical strokes. And lechalosam bimei Haman, and lechalosam is a reference to Haman. Okay, so this is consistent with the previous sighting. She'amadti lahem Mordechai v'Esther, because they're the defenders from Mordechai and Esther. La'afir b'ti itam b'mei Rom. Now we have Parsiim, it should be Romim. Anyway, and La'afir b'si is a reference to the Romans. She'amadti lahem Shalbeis Rebbe. Now, Uchach Medoros. And now, who are defenders at that time? So Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Ki ani Hashem Elokechem la'asid lavo. And ani Hashem Elokechem. So same note over here. It's la'asid lavo. Where no nation will have any kind of shlita over the Jewish people. Okay, Rabbi Levi Amar Mehacha. We're almost done. As I mentioned, it's going to be a lot of introductions. V'im lo sarishos yoshvei haaretz. Now the pasuk in the end of Bamidbar, in the end of Sefer Bamidbar, says, "Look, it's going to be problematic if you don't chase everyone out. Meaning, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you got to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and you got to drive everyone out. And if you don't drive everybody out." So then there are going to be problems. And so the Gemara is basically associating this pasuk to the period of Achashverosh. So Rabbi Chiya Amar Mehacha V'aya Kasher Dimisi La'asos Lehem Eselachem. Also, same area. In other words, the end of Bamidbar. So the a warning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us is that if we don't drive out the Shivas Amim, the seven Canaanite nations, so then we're gonna have problems, and those problems ended up manifesting, culminating at the time of Achashverosh. Okay, So that was a little bit unclear, by the way, in terms of the structure of the Gemara over there. That was the beginning of the Joshua's. That goes back to the Psichas. That part was a little bit unclear. Meaning, for the most part, it was Psicha after Psicha, intro after intro. And then we started to darshan the Megillah of Ahibi Me'achashrosh. And then it seems like we went back to more introductory, broader discussions. Anyway, now we're back to the Megillah. So far we covered Vayihi. Bimei, the Gemara doesn't have a drasha for the word Bimei. But now we have the next word, which is Achashverosh. Okay, so here we are. Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. We're about two-thirds of the way down. And so now the word Achashverosh. Now that's a name, but as we know time and again, so a name turns into a drasha as well. So Achashverosh Amarav, Achiv Shorosh, Ben Gilo Shorosh. So you can understand the following. That when it says Achashverosh, so it couldn't be understood as the Achiv Shorosh. So that he's the brother of the head, or Ben Gilo. Ben Gilo, it's a term the Gemara uses a number of times. The Gemara Nedarim, if I can remind everyone. The Gemara Nedarim says that when you are being Mevaker Chola, so what you're going to do is you're going to take away some of his illness. Right? That's but the Gemara says, but you're only going to be able to do that successfully if you're a Ben Gilo. Now, what exactly does that mean? The Gemara never perfectly explains that. So if you look over there in the Mefarshim, so some suggest it's talking about you're in the same age. It could be understood in other ways as well. Anyway, so Achashverosh was a brother of the Rosh and a Ben Gilo of the Rosh. So Achiv Shel Rosh, Achiv Shel Nevuchadnezzar HaRasha. So he was a brother, not biological, but basically he was he was a soulmate, so to say, of Nebuchadnezzar. Gemara goes on to explain. So Achiv Shel Rosh, I'm sorry, Achiv Shel Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. Shenikra Rosh Shenamra Antu Resha Di Dahava. So in Daniel, when you had the dream and the various components of the idol that he saw in the dream, so Antu Resha Di Dahava, you're the golden head. So that is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, and that's what Achashverosh wanted to be. And Ben Gilo Shorosh, and he's also a Ben Gilo. So Hu Harag. Who bekesh laharog? So Nebuchadnezzar destroyed, and Achashverosh wanted to do the same thing as well. Okay, general theme alert that's coming up over here in our Gemaras is that as far as Achashverosh is concerned, so the Gemara is going to paint Achashverosh as a rabid anti-Semite, meaning in the Megillah itself. So we get a very neutral position regarding Achashverosh in terms of whether or not he wanted to destroy the Jews or he didn't want to destroy the Jews. Haman approaches him. He's like, that's a great idea. Esther says, no, you can't do it. Achashverosh says, no, of course I can't do it. You're right. So in the Megillah itself, so he waffles. In the Gemara, there really is no nuance whatsoever. There's no ambiguity whatsoever. He comes out that he wants to destroy the Jewish people. So you're going to get this kind of split personality, so to say, of Achashverosh, one in the Megillah and the other one presented over here in our Gemara. Our Gemara says that he was basically like Nebuchadnezzar in that he wanted to destroy the Jewish people. So, bikesh laharog. Hu hecheriv, vuhu bikesh lehecheriv. So, as far as Achashverosh is concerned, let me do that again correctly. As far as Nebuchadnezzar is concerned, so he successfully destroyed. As far as Achashverosh is concerned, so that's what he wanted to do. Shenamro machos Achashverosh betchila machuso kasfu sitna al yoshvei Yehuda v'Yishalayim, based on the pasuk in Ezra, where a letter was sent out from Yehuda and from Yerushalayim. It was a sitna. It was a letter of hatred. And it was a letter petitioning the Persian government to stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And that letter was sent to none other than Achashverosh. And Achashverosh actually was responsible for the stopping of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Shmuel Amar, that's clearly our Gemara's position regarding Achashverosh. Shmuel Amar. Okay, so far we have one drasha in terms of Achashverosh, and that he was Achiv Shel Rosh, Ben Gilo Shel Rosh. Basically, he wanted to mimic the behavior of Nebuchadnezzar. That's one way to understand it. That's Rav. Shmuel Amar, Shehushru Panem Shel Yisrael B'Yamav, Kishula Kedera. Basically, the word Achashverosh from the word Shachor, which basically means like black, like the bomb of a pot, says the Gemara. In that the Jewish people were darkened in those days as a result of all the gzeras of Achashverosh. Rav Yochanan Amar Kol Shezochor Amar Achlo Rosho. A third drasha in terms of the name of Achashverosh, and that is, you just simply mention his name, and you get a headache, right? And Achlo Rosho won't touch my head. Rabbi Chanina Amar Kol Nasun Rashin B'Yamav. Everyone became poor in his day. He was a really heavy taxer. He taxed he taxed everybody. How do I know that? Because you look at the end of the Megillah, right the last pasuk. No, the third to last pasuk of the Megillah, and there it says very, very clearly that he imposed taxes, and so people became poor during his day. So who berishom etchilosav ve'ad sofo? So he was. Now we're darshening the word who achashverosh. Okay, we're still in the first pasuk today. We're not. That's not true. We are going to get out of the first pasuk today. Okay, so we're darshing now the next word in the pasuk of who achashverosh, right? Vahibi me achashverosh. Who achashverosh? And the obvious question over here is, what are we adding over here with the words who achashverosh? So the Gemara says, who is coming to teach me that he was a rasha mitchilav ve'ad sofo? Like I said earlier, I get to say it again, no ambiguity in the Gemara regarding its feelings of Achashverosh, right? He's not looked fondly of by the Chachamim. And Hu Esav, Hu Brishom, Mitchalas of Ad Sofo. This idea that he was consistently a Russian from beginning to end. So not only do we apply that to Achashverosh, we also apply that to Esav as well. So Hu Dasan Vaviran, Hein Brishom, Mitchalas of Ad Sofo. Same thing is true regarding Dasan Vaviran. So they were a Russia from beginning to end, who Amelach Achaz, who Rishom Mitchalas Ve'ad Sofo. And the same thing can be said regarding the king Achaz. So Avram, who Avraham now, as long as we are on this idea that the word who is talking about consistency, so there are people that were consistently bad, and now we're going to go to the other side of people that were consistently good. So Avram, who Avraham, so who b'tzidko mitchalas ve'ad sofo, v'hu Aaron Moshe, heim b'tzidko mitchalas ve'ad sofo. So we're going to say it regarding Avram, we're going to say it regarding Moshe and Aaron, and that they were tzaddikim the whole lives. V'david hu akatan, hu b'katnuso mitchalas ve'ad sofo. David in his humility, so he was humble from beginning to end. K'shem shebekatnuso hiktin atzmo etzol mishigadom yemenu b'torah, kach b'malchuso hiktin atzmo. Both before and after he was anointed as the king, he was a humble individual. Hamolech. Okay, we're still in the first pasuk. So, Amar Rav, Shemalch Me'atzmo. Okay, so how did he become the king? So Rav's of the position that he did not have any yichus, he was not a ben melech, but he was molech atzmo. He politically climbed up the ranks to get to becoming the king. So, Amri Leila Shevach, Amri Leila Ganai. Now, there are spins over here. You're going to see a lot of spinning over the course of these next upcoming Gemaras in terms of whether or not we could view that as a positive or whether we could view it as a negative. And it's as far as which way we should go, the answer, of course, is both, meaning it can be spun in two different directions, and the Gemara does so. So, Amri Leila Shevach, Allah Havinish Techashav Lamaka Kavasei. So one way to say it is that, look, in other words, that he wasn't a Ben Melech, but he was the most qualified person for the job, and so you could spin it as a positive. On the other hand, Amri Leila Ganai, Delo Havela Echazla Machusa, Umaman Yisrehu Diay Vekam. On the other hand, you could say that he just simply paid for the position, meaning he wasn't qualified to do so. He just simply paid for the position. So you could spin it in either direction. And now we go on to the next words of the Pasuk. We're still in the first Pasuk. So Hamolech Mehodu Viad Kush. So Rav Shmuel, so where are they geographically? Okay, so the fact that we may have an idea of where they are currently, but that, of course, is our modern, that's our modern definitions. But where were they historically? So the truth of the matter is that the Amorim were not sure. So we know that the Torah says that he ruled from Hodu to Kush, but what does that mean? So Rav and Shmuel Chadamar, so here again, a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Up until now, we pretty much knew what Rav said and what Shmuel said. A number of occasions, we're going to see a lot of machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and for a lot of them, we just simply don't know which said which, and it's Chad Amar. So Chad Amar, one of them said, Hodu b'sof ha'olam, v'kush b'sof ha'olam. So Hodu and Kush are the extremities of the civilized world. And that Achashverosh ruled over the entire civilized world. And v'chad ma'amar, Hodu v'kush gabe hadade havakayme. Actually, Hodu and Kush were right next to each other. They were neighboring provinces. And k'shem shemalach al Hodu v'kush, kach malach misof ha'olam v'ad sofo. But even this position is not changing in terms of Achashverosh being a world power. In other words, he governed the entire world, the entire civilized world. It just simply means that just like you have total dominion over two provinces that are next to one another. That's the kind of dominion that he had over the entire world. And the Gemara says, and the same thing can be said regarding Shlomo HaMelech. The pasuk in Malachim says, "Ki hu rode bechol eiver hanar mitifsach ve'ad Aza." As far as Shlomo HaMelech and his reign is concerned, so it extended all the way from Tifsach to Aza. Now, from where to where? So exactly same discussion. Rav Shmuel Chanamar Tifsach b'sof ha'olam ve'Aza b'sof ha'olam v'Chanamar Tifsach ve'Aza b'hadei adade havekaimi k'shem shemalach al Tifsach ve'al Aza kach malach al kol ha'olam kulo. And so over here, same exact discussion regarding Shlomo HaMelech and that he ruled from. So we know the names of the provinces, we just simply don't know where they are. And either they're the extremities of the earth or they're right next to one another. And just like you ruled over two provinces that are right next to another, in the same manner he ruled over the entire world. So, okay, so far, who are our world dominators? So far we have on our list, on our really short list, we have Achashverosh and we have Shlomo HaMelech. Sheva ve'asuma mi'am medina. Back to that first pasuk in the Megillah. 127 provinces. Amar Rav Chista b'tchila malach al sheva levesoch malach al asrim levesoch malach al mea. So Rav Chista says that it was progression. In other words, first it was 7, then 20, and then 100. In other words, that basically he himself conquered the entire world. Elamiata, the Gemara says, if that's in fact so. So let's turn to Ushnei Chaye Amram, Shevuk Shloshim Ameya Shana. So the life of Amram is 7 plus 30 plus 100. It's funny. Immediately everyone, myself included, thought that the Gemara was going to go to Sarah and 127. But anyway, so my Darshibe. But now that we're going progressively from 7 to 30 to 100, so what do you do over there? Meaning that's talking about the years of a person's life. That's not talking about world conquering. So the Gemara says, Shani Hacha, Dekra Yisrehu. So the Gemara says, no. As far as that pasuk is concerned, so it's an extra pasuk. Mechtik siv meho devad kush. So because look, the pasuk already says that Achashverosh conquered or dominated from Hoda to Kush. So sheva v'esrim miyam medina lamali. So now the fact that it's 127 provinces, who cares how many provinces it is? Meaning once you know that he dominates the world, so then why mention that? So shema min ala drasha. That affords us the opportunity to go ahead and give us a drasha on that particular circumstance. Now, it's funny because everyone here, we all know the Rashi on Chayasara, and by Sarah it says that she was 7 and 20 and 100, and Rashi over there darshans. And our Gemara says that by Amram, nah, you don't need to darshan it, meaning it's not necessary to darshan it. By the Megillah, you need to darshan it because it's yitur, it's extra, it's superfluous. Okay, so it, admittedly now we're all confused because Rashi does exactly what the Gemara says you don't need to do. In other words, you don't need to darshan over there. Okay. Anyway, I'm sure, I haven't seen it, but I'm sure somebody addresses that. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, so world dominators, world conquerors. So right now we have on our list, on our short list too, we'll add a third as well. So Tanur Rabbanan, Shosha Malchu Bekipa. So there are three people who were melech over the entire dome. Right, dome over here is a reference to the world, right? The civilized world. So ve'elohein, so they are. So it's funny, if I were to ask you to write a list right now, so right now you'd make a list of two, and seems like you would know what the number is. I'm sorry, you would know who they are, and you and I would be wrong. And they are Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, the three world dominators. Now, Shlomo HaMelech didn't make the list, meaning he didn't make the short list. So Gemara is going to ask that question, so stay tuned for that. You know who also didn't make this list, which the Gemara is not going to discuss, and that's Alexander the Great. So Alexander the Great conquered the world, so he didn't make the list. So Tosus notes that over here. There is a Tosus on the Samud. Okay, it's going to be hard to find. It's tucked away. But in the bottom corner of the Gemara, so you see Tosus over there. So Tosus says, yeah, there's no psukim by Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great lived after any published work of Tanakh, right? Sifrei Tanakh were closed by the time Alexander the Great came onto the scene. So we have no psukim. Our daf today is really dedicated to psukim. If I could source and cite it from a pasuk, great, it's open for discussion. If it happens to be a later point in time, so it's just not going to make our daf today. Okay, so that's why Tosfos says Alexander's not making it into this list. So far we have our list of world dominators, and that is Achav, Achashverosh, Nebuchadnezzar. So Achav, so as far as Achav is concerned, So dechsev chay shem lekechem yesh goy umam lecha asher lo shalach adoni sham levakeshcha. Is there any place that's not under your domain? Loose translation, but that's the basic idea. And this dialogue took place between Achav and while he was in search of Eliyahu, meaning basically I dominate the whole world. Meaning there's no way we can't find this guy. Now if he had dominated the whole world, ruled the entire world, so how could he make such a claim? Meaning he's got to be somewhere in my domain, because right now I'm ruling over the entire world. Okay, that's Achav. So Nebuchadnezzar, so once again, we have a pasuk also speaks to this idea that he ruled over the entire world. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Achashverosh Hadamar. Now, as far as Achashverosh is concerned, so the Gemara says, see above. Okay, that one we got. Okay. So far, Amud Aleph, done. Amud Beis, but still continuing in our discussion of world dominators. So the Gemara says, who didn't make it into the list, into the short list? So Vesu Leka, the Gemara says, now really, there's nobody else? Right, there's Simanim, by the way, to help us remember who didn't make the list. But at least we're contemplating they should have made the list. Vesu Leka v'ha'ika Shlomo. So obviously, there's the question of Shlomo Melech, meaning, and we just learned together that he did conquer and rule over the entire world. So why isn't he now made it into our short list? So the Gemara says, Lo Salik Melchusei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but as far as Shlomo Melech is concerned, so he didn't end off his kingship. Now, what is that making reference to? You can see Rashi right over here. Rashi on the very top of the Amud, on the right column, of right and left column over here on today's daf, is Rashi. Lo Hishlam Achusosha Are Nitrad Kidarmina B'Mesechas Gittin. So Rashi says, take a look at the Gemara in Gittin. Now, if you look at the Gemara in Gittin, so you're going to see unbelievable stories regarding Shlomo HaMelech and the end of his rule. And I heard it. So one of the kings of the demons was named Ashmedai, and a back and forth between Shlomo HaMelech and Ashmedai, and basically Shlomo HaMelech was taken off of the throne. Okay, what happens next? So see the Gemara in Gittin for that discussion. Right now, the only reason why Shlomo HaMelech is not making it to our list is because his rule did not end, his life did not end with him ruling the world, but rather he was reduced to a commoner. So the Lo Salik Melchusei, that's the Gemara's answer. Hanich Laman Damar Melch Vehejot. So the Gemara says, good. If you take the position that he was a Melch and then becomes a commoner, as is one viewpoint in the Gemara and Gittin, so then I get it. But El Laman Damar Melch Vehejot Lamelech Michael Meimar. But there's another viewpoint over there in that Gemara and Gittin that says that it's true, he was temporarily deposed as the king, but then he was reinstated. So there is a viewpoint like that. Now, if there's a viewpoint like that, so now, put him on the list. So the Gemara says, Shlomo Milsa Achrisa Havabe. Malach al Yonim, Vi'al Hatachtonim. Nemra Bava Yashav Shlomo al Kise Hashem. So the Gemara says, Shlomo Milch didn't make the list because he didn't just conquer the world, he didn't just rule over the world, but he ruled over the upper world as well. Shlomo HaMelech had dominion over the Tachtonim, that's us down here, and the Elyonim as well. Exactly what that means, I'll pass on trying to explain exactly what that means. But in other words, but he was not just a world conqueror, he was a world's conqueror. Okay? Just leave it like that. And so Shlomo HaMelech is just simply, he's in a different league. And that's why he didn't make the list. So the Gemara says, okay, that is Shlomo HaMelech, that's the Shin, right? You could just follow along. You look at the top of the Amud, you look at the mnemonic, and you could see, right, the next one we're going to introduce is going to start with a Samach. V'ahava Sanchei Rev Dechtiv, Mi B'chol Elkei Haratzos Ha'ela Asher Yitzilos Artsam Yadi. So, okay, so it sounds in the description in Sefer Yeshayahu, it sounds like Sanchei Rev ruled over the entire world. So the Gemara says, "Ha'ika Yerushalayim de lo kafsha." The Gemara says, "Yeah, but not the entire world because he didn't conquer Yerushalayim." And see, right in Yirmiyahu, and it's described where he did not conquer Yerushalayim. In fact, he failed in conquering Yerushalayim. Okay, v'ha'ika Daryavesh. So the Gemara says, "Now, what about Daryavesh? Didn't he conquer the whole world? Didn't he rule the whole world?" Dechsev, the pasuk in Daniel, Dayarvish Makaksav, Lechol Amemaya Umaya Velishna Di Dairan, Bechol Ara Shamachan Yaske. So basically an introduction to a letter sent to Dayavish, but Dayavish, you rule over the entire world, right? That's the basic intent of that pasuk. So the Gemara says, Haika Sheva Delo Malach Alayah. So the Gemara says, most of the world. He didn't rule over the entire world. How do I know that? Dichsiv, because of the following. There are seven provinces that he didn't rule over. And the Gemara says here, we turn to another pasuk in Daniel. This too is also in the sixth parak of Daniel. Shvar kadam dayavish v'akim amu chesal achshtar panaya me'av ve'asrin. And you rule over 120 provinces. Now we happen to know, we got good information, that there are 127 provinces. Okay, so he was seven short of world domination. Okay. So in other words, he almost made the list, but didn't make it. V'ha'ika koresh. And now we're up to the last suggestion. That's the chaf of the mnemonic. So isn't there koresh? So dichsiv, ko amar, koresh, malach paras, ko mamuchos haaretz nasan, li Hashem. So in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, right in the beginning, so you see Koresh saying, you know, I rule over the entire world. So the Gemara says, Hashem ishtabuchu hu dekam shabech benafshei. So the Gemara says, fake news. Fake news. In other words, he's saying it about himself that he ruled over the entire world. But okay, so in other words, he's promoting himself. But it's not in fact the case. Okay. How are we doing so far in terms of time? We're doing great. In terms of daf to go, we still got a little bit more. We are up to the second pasuk of the Megillah. So like I said earlier today, we're going to go three pasukim in. No, we're only going to go two pesukim in. But again, they get comfortable. This is what we're going to be doing for the next week. We're going to be darshing the Megillah. So here we are now up to the second pasuk of the Megillah. Bayamim ayim kishefes amelech achashverosh. I'm just reading the pasuk in total. Bayamim ayim kishefes amelech achashverosh. Al kisei machuso asher b'shushan abira. So it was in the third year. We're not even there yet. Sorry, we're going to get there. And it was on those days when the king was when he was comfortable. Kishavas amach achashrosh akisem achuso asher b'shushan. So and then uksiv asrei, and then it says b'shna shalosh l'malcho. Ah, and then it says it was in the third year. Okay, sorry. In my mind, I flipped it around. But anyway, so in the third year, he got comfortable, and so now a discussion to be had in terms of he started ruling. And only in the third year did he become comfortable. So what is going on over there? So Amar Rava, my kesheves achash nisyash vadato. So he had yishev hadas. In other words, for the first 3 years of his rule, he was not comfortable. But only in the third year of his rule, then and only then did he become comfortable. Amar, and he said the following. Now, in order to appreciate and understand what is about to happen in the Gemara over here, so there are basically two things that we need to know, and we're really going to then have a really excellent appreciation of the Gemara. Okay, number one, what we need to know is that the Nevi'im already forecasted that the Gullus of Bavel is going to be a short Gullus. In fact, the Nevi'im attached a number to the length of Gullus Bavel. They said it was going to be 70 years. We're going to see the Pesukim in just a moment. So everybody knew, meaning, and at the time, Nevi'im, when they said something, so they were taken seriously, not only by the Jewish, by the Jewish population, but by everybody. Meaning, there was a thing called Nevuah. Everyone understood that. Everyone recognized it. I mean, there were also false prophets as well, but a Navi said something, so it was a really big deal. So not one, but two different Nevi'im said, and could be more, but at least what we know is two Nevi'im said that Gullus Bavel is going to be only for 70 years. Okay, that's one piece of information that we need to know. The other piece of information, I mean, truth of the matter is we need to know more too, but two basic pieces of information. And the other piece of information that we need to know is that what everyone struggled with is how to figure out 70 years. It's not so hard to count 70 years, but as we're going to see in just a moment, because of the choppy nature in which the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so therefore it was in fact a challenge to go ahead and to count the 70 years, because what we didn't know how to do, when I say we, I really mean the kings of the time, is they didn't know from when to start counting from. And presumably we as well. Okay, but for sure, the kings themselves did not know when to count from, And so therefore, that is going to be leading to the remainder of today's daf, and the confusion that ensued over the fact that we all knew it was going to be 70 years, it's just a question of how to count those 70 years. Now, let's throw out the information quickly, and certainly spend some time later today just, digesting all this. Okay, there were, as far as the Babylonian Empire is concerned, there were three Babylonian emperors. That's all we need to know. That's all there was. It was Nebuchadnezzar. I got it right. Nebuchadnezzar, followed by Evil-Merodach, followed by Belshazzar. That's it. Those are the three Babylonian rulers. Then Belshazzar was destroyed. Then the Persians, and it was a joint venture between the Persians and the Medes. Paros of Madai, right? You hear a lot about that during the Megillah. So then it was the Persians and the Medes who took over. They assume now the world domination. And so it was started with Dariavesh. And then it gets a little bit fuzzy in terms of what the next progression is of kings. Okay, let's say it the way we have it as our Masora. So it's Dariavesh, followed then by Koresh, followed then by Achashverosh, followed then by another Dariavesh. Okay, fine. That's our Masora. So now, each one of them, not each one of them, I'm going to point to two specifically, we're forecasting that the 70 years have come and gone, and the Jews have not been redeemed, and therefore we're going to celebrate. So we're going to first start off. I'm doing all this outside. We're going to see everything inside in just a moment. I'm just doing it all outside, so it's just easier to see first. Okay, so first we'll start with Belshazzar. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar ruled for a total of 45 years, followed then by Evil-Merodach, who ruled for them for another 23 years. So, right, so we're up to 68. And now Belshazzar ruled for a total of 3 years. Okay, so now he's in year 71. So year 71, he's thinking to himself, okay, good, the 70 years have come and gone. Now, of course, his 70 goes back to the beginning of the Babylonian Empire. Okay, and clearly he was wrong. It was at the party that he celebrated, and we're going to see together in the Gemara. What he did is he took out the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash to celebrate the fact that the 70 years have come and gone, and meanwhile the Jews haven't been brought back to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, okay, fine. So he jumped that hurdle. And meanwhile, at that very party, so in comes Paros of Madai, kills Belshazzar, kills everybody, leaves Vashti, who, right, however old she was, leaves Vashti as a survivor, and Vashti ends up marrying Achashverosh. We know that part of the story. Okay, that is all but round number one. And then round number two, and that's what we're going to be seeing together right now in our daf, is that Achashverosh also did the same thing, meaning he also counted, and then when he got to the third year of his reign, so now he was comfortable, and that now he thinks that the Gullus is over, and I'm sorry, the Gullus is, the promise that the Gullus was going to end is in fact not true, and so therefore he celebrated, and by the way, he did the same thing, took the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash out, onto the party, etc., etc. Okay, so that's all what we're going to be seeing in the upcoming Gemara, and all this to explain the beginning of the Megillah, where it says that in the third year of his rule, so at that point in time, he was misyashev. He was settled. His mind was settled.
But by that time, Achashverosh,
of course,
had already let the Jews back in.
They let the Jews back in. Correct. Because the Beis HaMikdash wasn't yet rebuilt, even though they started the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So yes, right, excellent point, meaning it's fair for us to be confused, meaning why did he think that, oh, and now it's for sure over, when meanwhile the Beis HaMikdash already started being built. Okay, good. Really good point. Okay, that's part of his thought. That was part of his thought process. Okay, so Maihi. I skipped a line. Let me go back. Amarava. Umay kisheves achashenes yashvados yad yishavadas. So Amar, so this is now Achashverosh. So Belshazzar chashav silk. Belshazzar, so he tried to figure it out, and Vital, and he made a mistake. So anachushbana velotaina. I'm going to figure it out, and I'm not going to make a mistake, because that's how we all think. In other words, our predecessors, they didn't know anything. They were wrong, but of course we're right. Okay, it's how the world operates. It's just simply we're hardwired that way. So so the Gemara says so. Now, as far as Belshazzar is concerned, so what was the mistake? Dechziv. So first we have a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So as I told you what's going to happen. So here we have two nevuah. So one nevuah is in Sefer Yirmiyahu. So the it says very clearly that 70 years and Efkod Eschem, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to remember you. By the way, that word Efkod, so we just heard it at the end of Sefer Bereishis, meaning that's exactly what Yosef says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Pakod Yifkod. Okay, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember. So and that will result in Geula. Okay, so after 7 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remember you. And then, whether this next pasuk belongs here, belongs at a later point in time, regardless, the point is that we also have another pasuk as well that speaks to this idea that it's going to be 70 years. So let's put the years together as calculated by Belshazzar. So Nebuchadnezzar was a total of 45 years, 23 years of Evel Merodech, Vitarti Didei, another 2 years of his rule. So that's 70. Now, Ha Afek, and I'm going to assume, by the way, that it was the following year, meaning, right, in years, whatever, in year 70. So he was worried that whole year. And then the following year, now what he did, so Ha Shivim, so that got us to 70 years in total. So Afik Mani, Debe Mikdash of Ishtam Shabu. So that when then what he did is he took out the kelim of the base of Mikdash and he used them. Okay. So that was the mistake of Belshazzar. Now before the Gemara goes and explains Achashverosh's, you know, new calculation, so the Gemara just wants to know how do we know these numbers? Meaning the Gemara just threw out these numbers and what sourcing do I have for these numbers? So that's what the Gemara is now going to do. So Nebuchadnezzar minalan darban v'chamishnin malachano. I know that Nebuchadnezzar ruled for a total of 45 years. So the Gemara says like this: Amar galu b'sheva, galu b'shmona, galu shmonasre, v'galu b'chasre. So when we were sent to exile. So it's very simple. It was in year 7. It was in year 8. It was in year 18, and it was in year 19. Now, there's nothing simple about that. Meaning, right, what in the world? Four different numbers to explain when we were sent into exile. So that needs an explanation. So the Gemara goes on to explain. So, Galu B'Shev L'Kivush, Yo-Yakim. So, Yo-Yakim was conquered, right? Yo-Yakim was one of the Malchi Yehuda, was one of the last of the Malchi Yehuda. And he was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. And so 7 years after he was conquered, so that was Galus Yo-Yachin. So Yo-Yachin, either the son or the nephew, you'll forgive me, I forgot, but the son or the nephew of Yehoyakim, so he was sent into exile. Meaning after Yo-Yachin, there was another four kings, but they were all basically, they were all subjects of Nebuchadnezzar. And so Yehoyachin was sent into exile. So that was 7 years after Yo-Yachin was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar. And the Gemara goes on to explain, Shehi Shmona, LeNebuchadnezzar. Now that was 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar took reign, meaning Nebuchadnezzar only after 1 year of conquering the world, of taking over Babel. So then 1 year later he goes into Yerushalayim and he conquers Yehoyakim. So now in terms of the Galus Yehoyachin, so that is going to be 7 years after Yehoyakim was sent into Yehoyakim was conquered, or another way to say it is 8 years after the rule of Nebuchadnezzar began. Okay. Now, that explains numbers 7 and 8. What about the next series of numbers? So, Galo Bishmonasre, so Lekivish Yo-Yakim. So, that's Galo Tzidkiyahu. Shehi Chasre Lenevuchanetzar. Now, even after Yo-Yakim was sent into exile, so there was still a Jewish rule in Eretz Yisrael. And it was terminated, was concluded with Tzidkiyahu. Right? Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about Tzidkiyahu. He was both righteous. And also, he was the last. He was the last of Malchi Yehuda for the first base of Mikdash. And so he was sent into exile. Again, there are two ways they could say it. Either 18 years after Yo-Yakim was conquered, or alternatively, 19 years after Nebuchadnezzar started his rule. Amar b'shana rishana kivish ninvei, and shnia kivish Yo-Yakim. Because we have, as part of Seder Olam, part of our historical Misorah, that he conquered Nineveh in the first year of his rule, okay? And the second year, so he went down to Yerushalayim, and he conquered Yo-Yakim. Say, Uksiv, Ayhi Beshoshim Vesheva, Shana Lagalsi Al Yachim Melch Yehuda, Beshnemasar, Chodesh Beshim, Vechamisha Lechodesh Nasa, Elvimirodech Melch Bavel, Beshnas Machusos Rosh Al Yachim Melch Yehuda, Vyotzeo Somi Besa Kalu. Now we also happen to know that Evel Merodech, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, eventually takes Yoyachin out of jail, meaning that Nebuchadnezzar, so he exiled Yoyachin, he brought Yoyachin over to Bavel, and he was in jail, and eventually Evel Merodech takes him out. And this is now 37 years after Yoyachin was sent into exile. Utlas v'sheva hari arban v'chamish Nebuchadnezzar. So now what we're going to do is as follows. We're going to take 37 years plus the 8 years additional to that, because remember there were 8 years from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign until Yoyachim was sent into exile. Plus we know that he was in prison for a total 37 years. 37 plus 8, that's 45. Okay, so 45 years in total. We're assuming over here that Evel Merodach took him out of prison immediately when he assumed the throne. Okay. So 45 years for Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, good. So that is how we got to 45 years for Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Vesem Tlas Evel Merodach Gemara. So now, as far as Evel Merodach in 23 years, so the Gemara says, no Pesukim. Okay, we're just simply not going to find a Pesuk. So it's a Mesorah. It's part of our tradition. And now, Vitartin Didei. So now, 2 years of Belshazzar. So Hashivan. So that gets us now to a total of 7 years. I'm sorry, 70 years. So Amar Hashavada Tulam Imaparki. Now, if the Jews were not redeemed at this point in time, they're not going to be redeemed again, because again, he knows of the Nevuah, and he's assuming that once 70 years have come and gone, so that's it. So Apik money to make Mikdash of Ishtamish Bahu, he takes out the kelim of the base of Mikdash, he uses them, Hanu de Kamarle Daniel. So, and now Daniel says to him, so the Amari Shmai Hisramamta Ulamani di Beisaya Hayasav Kadmech, you basically elevated yourself. Uksiv Be Balaila Katil Belshazzar Malka Kazda. It was that night at that party that he had, so Belshazzar was killed. Uksiv Daryavish Mada Kiba Machusa Kvar Shninshtin Vitartin. And Daryavish, right, the conqueror of Bavel, the conqueror of Belshazzar, so he accepted the monarchy when he was 62 years of age. Okay. Let's pause over here. So that is all the miscalculation of Belshazzar. So far what we've covered up until now is we've gone up to the miscalculation of Belshazzar, and tomorrow where we're going to be starting is the miscalculation. Now, right, spoiler alert. So the miscalculation of Achashverosh. He's also going to calculate, but he will also calculate incorrectly, and that's where we're going to begin tomorrow. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay, in terms of where we started this morning, introductions to the Megillah. Introductions to the Megillah extended well into today's daf, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, more than halfway down. So the various introductions that are given by the Amoraim when they opened up their drushes of the Megillah. And so the Gemara covered all the introductions. And then we started with the darshaning of the Megillah. And so in today's daf, we covered the first couple psukim of the Megillah. So we focused on Achashverosh, obviously, who opens up the Megillah. We talked about his name. Why is he called Achashverosh? The Gemara gave multiple drushes. I think total 4 different drushas in terms of why he goes by the name of Achashverosh, meaning aside from the fact that it's his name, we have the ability to darshan it as well, right? In other words, a great way to think about it is that, meaning what his actual name is you know, what Nevuah is there in their name, but once it's incorporated in the Megillah, so now it's part of Kitzvei HaKodesh, meaning it was written by Nevuah. I know that was a point of controversy earlier in the Masechta, but we're going to assume it's part of Tanakh, so we're going to assume now it's part of Nevuah. So once it's in the Navi, it's a Megillah, so now everything is available for drushas, including even his name. Okay, good. So the Gemara darshened his name. The Gemara gave multiple drushas in terms of why that is. Who Achashverosh? The Gemara spent some time going over the idea that he was consistent throughout his whole life. And by the way, the Gemara says he was consistently a Rasha his whole life. And the Gemara talked about other people who were in the same category of who their whole lives, some for rishus, some for tzidkus, some for even humility. The Gemara noted that Achashverosh ruled over the entire world. Other world dominators, world conquerors. So we had a really short list on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The list only included 3 world conquerors. The 4 that didn't make the list, and on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, so we covered the 4 who did not make the list. Okay, and reasons why they didn't make the list. Shlomo HaMelech didn't make the list, but the Gemara's conclusion was because he was in a league of his own. Right, he not only was a conqueror of this world, but of the Elyonim as well. And 3 others who also didn't make the list as well for various reasons. And then finally, we are explaining the next pasuk in the Megillah, the second pasuk in the Megillah, that he was comfortable on his throne. And why was he comfortable on his throne? And why specifically only in the 3rd year was he comfortable on his throne? So it has to do with the calculation, miscalculation of the Navi. The Navi predicts that Galus Bavel will end after 70 years, and everyone now is cautious and worried, concerned that the 70 years are going to come, and the Jews are going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Belshazzar miscalculated, as he thought that the count should go back to the beginning of Malchus Bavel. So Nebuchadnezzar started ruling 70 years earlier, 45 years in Nebuchadnezzar, 23 years of Evel Merodech, and now in his 3rd year. So he now figured, that's it, we're good, we're done. And so that's why he had the party. And it was at that party that Daryavesh, together with the Malchus of Mada and Paras, so they come in, they destroy, they defeat Belshazzar. So that was a miscalculation. He miscalculated because he thought 70 should go back to the beginning of Malchus Bavel. He was wrong. So now what about Achashverosh? That's where we're going to begin tomorrow morning. Wait a minute.